a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome into the Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. I am Dave Meekham. I get to sit in for Maria Chaleos today and my good buddy Tom Bettis alongside, of course. The show wouldn't be the Greenhouse without Tom.
It would be the Dave Meekham show.
Then nobody wants to hear that.
I don't know. Maria is enjoying herself on a much-needed vacation, and so it is us.
And it's going to be fun. We get to talk about some great things today, and I'm super psyched about our plant of the day, Tom. You have chosen perhaps the best plant of the day we've ever had.
Never done it before, and the only reason we're doing it is Maria is not here to stop us.
She can't get in our way.
No. Celebrity tomato. I know it's one of your favorite.
It is my favorite, yeah.
And I kind of chose it for that. But we've never had a vegetable as the plant of the week. It's usually been especially with Maria,
ornamental perennials,
maybe a shrub. But, celebrity tomato. And I wanted to highlight this because it's widely available. And if you've never grown tomatoes, it's probably among the easiest to grow.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't obviously tried every single tomato variety there is. But, you know, I've tried a lot of them. And I always say, that's nice. That has this. It has that. And then I go back to my celebrity.
Yeah. So the celebrity tomato was officially introduced in 1984. And within a year or two of introduction, was selected as an All-American selection, and that's an organization that trials the tomato or whatever the plant is all over the nation, and it performed well in the entire nation, whether it was Maryland, Maine, Oklahoma, Utah, California, it did well.
And that's because it excels at pretty much everything you want out of a tomato.
Yeah, you need a sandwich tomato, celebrity.
Yeah.
You need a canning tomato, celebrity.
Want salsa?
Celebrity. You know, and so it's one of those tomatoes that, yeah, they're probably better salsa tomatoes and better canning tomatoes, but for an all-around, just useful, jack-of-all-trades, this is the tomato.
Yeah, I suppose you could sit there and say, okay, I'm going to grow my garden. I'm going to have this variety for my hamburgers. I'm going to have this variety for my salsa, this one for canning, whatever. And there's probably one tomato or two tomatoes out there you could find that would be better than celebrity, but just plant celebrity.
You know, that DX5212 or the Hampson is promoted as the canning tomato. I grew that thing, and the fruit are about as big as Early Girl, so golf ball to racquetball size.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me probably 30 to 40% more time to can that stupid thing as compared to celebrity because the fruit's just bigger. And I honestly, when I canned it, I didn't find enough of a difference from Hamson to Celebrity that I'll ever grow Hamson again. I know this is like anathema, and it's 8 o'clock, so maybe not as many people are listening, but I do not like that USU tomato, the Hamson tomato. And it's just my unpopular opinion, but and a lot of people love it, but I would much rather can Celebrity, you know, is than a lot of other tomatoes because of the size, the consistency, and it just seems to be more efficient for what I'm doing.
And it's a disease-resistant variety as well, which can it save is. A lot of people, especially people who haven't gardened before.
It is. And you know, there's a lot of people out there that live in condos that, you know, or apartments and things that just don't have a lot of room. And so the tomatoes get planted in the same spot year after year, which I never recommend. But a tomato like Celebrity is going to be more tolerant to that because of its disease resistance. And so when people do that, we recommend maybe tilling the soil out and replacing it every 3 or 4 years. But that Celebrity is much more resistant to a lot of those diseases. So that's just another great thing about it.
Right. It makes it easier because then you can just add the nutrients that are being depleted and count on its ability to resist these diseases that it'll still be a healthy plant.
Yeah, it will. Eventually, it will succumb. If you have grown tomatoes in the same spot for 10 years, you know, it will succumb, but it is a lot more resistant than many others. So, you know, there are many other good tomatoes out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, some that are very similar to it in disease resistance and size, Mountain Fresh, Mountain Magic are both becoming widely available. I see them in most major garden centers, not the quantity of Celebrity, but they've been taking a lot of the market share because they're great tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been playing, or I've been playing with some BHN tomatoes that are Johnny's selection.
Yeah, you brought me some here this
morning.
Yeah,
and they're not really available at local garden centers, but the BHN 1021, I actually, it's more productive than Celebrity and it doesn't crack. And so, and the flavor I think is very similar. And so there's other tomatoes out there that will perform as well, especially that Mountain Fresh and Magic, Mountain Magic, because they're available. But the Celebrity since the mid 80s is the tomato that all other sandwich tomatoes are compared to.
Yeah, and there's some things about it that aren't, if you want a tomato by the 4th of July, Celebrity is not your choice.
No, you need to buy 4th of July tomato.
Yeah, and there are varieties that do really well in the heat. Celebrity is not necessarily one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it does okay.
Yeah.
You know, but when you read fact sheets, like I've got one from Texas that talks about just the absolute need to spray a fungicide on the tomato to keep it from diseases. And that's a fairly disease-resistant tomato, and we just don't run into that here.
Yeah, I've never sprayed any of my tomatoes with anything.
No, and there usually is not a need because we're just so dry, and especially if you drip irrigate or water at the base of the tomatoes, we just don't run into problems.
Yeah, I mean, the Celebrity is just a fantastic tomato. Is it perfect? No, there's no such thing as the perfect tomato.
No, and we talk about it, and all of a sudden somebody's going to buy it, and we're like, it's going to fail for some reason, and we're the biggest idiots on earth. But, you know, if you've grown tomatoes.
That has nothing to do with the tomatoes.
No. And when I've grown tomatoes more in a commercial sense, working on farms, it seems like about 1 in 4 years, you just lose most of the crop. And that's just how it works out. And it's not the varieties. It's the vagaries of nature, frost, whatever insect pests are around. So that happens. But if it's going to succeed, Celebrity's the one that will do it.
Yeah, and trust me, I've grown a lot of tomatoes, and I'm the first to admit that there is no perfect variety. I always grow Sun Sugars, for example. You can't just walk out and grab a Celebrity and pop it off the plant, right? It's not that kind of tomato.
No, but Sun Sugar, if you're in a hurry for breakfast, go get 10 or 15 of them and eat them on the way to work.
Yeah, drop them in
you
a
know,
bag.
If you want a really good salsa and you want to sweeten it up, Sun Sugar is one of those tomatoes. And then I've grown Sun Sugar and a lot of other cherry tomatoes. And I think that, you know, my popular opinion in this case is Sun Sugar is probably the best cherry tomato on the market right now.
Until I find something better, I'm totally agree with that.
Well, I've got some what are called sweet baby girls that I've grown And that's a wildly popular variety up in the Cache Valley, mainly due to Mark Anderson at Anderson Seed. And when I was working up there, we grew it at the jail, and that was a good tomato. So if I've got some, I'll bring some in next week. But I'm comparing Sun Sugar and Sweet Baby Girl, and we're going to have a showdown and see how they do.
I'm ready. Bring me one of them. Okay. We'll do it side by side here at the, you know, a little later in the
maybe this summer we can bring all of them in, and if we get them to succeed and do some taste testing.
And, you know, if you've got your questions about, if you want to take us on and say we're crazy and tell us about your favorite variety, you can certainly do that. KSL Talk is the line. You can call us up and ask your questions. It may have been a rough week for some people in their tomatoes.
Yeah, it may have been. So really quick before we go to break, we've got a text. It says, good morning. I purchased a small grapevine and it looks dead. Is this typical? And if so, when does it appear? So if you bought a bare root tomato, a lot of times they are dormant and – or not tomato.
I was going to say, I think you meant grape.
Yes. If you buy a bare root grape that's dormant, they may not leaf out for 6 weeks, sometimes 8 weeks. So leave it in the ground. I can't tell you if it's dead or not, but they are oftentimes a month or 6 weeks behind regular grapes.
And hopefully you bought it at a place that has a warranty. If it is dead, you can go back and deal with that.
You can. One thing I like about shopping at the box store sometimes is you never know what you're going to get. And every once in a while, you will run into the most unique but neatest things, you know, that just are not available. You know, Bing cherries grafted on a Gisela root stock, or, you know, just things you'll never see at garden centers. I prefer the garden centers because they're local. But I always wander, and just because a lot of the stuff's just run of the mill, but every once in a while, you just find something really
cool. Discover this
treasure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will jump out. We'll take a break here. And on the other side, we'll take a look at some more of your tomato questions or whatever questions you may have. Give us a call. Bart is already on the line to chat with us this morning.
And he's going to take us to the woodshed for not talking about the right varieties.
Probably. We'll be right back with more on the
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. Thanks for being with us on this gorgeous, turning out to be a gorgeous Saturday morning, Todd.
Oh, man. I forgot to turn on my microphone.
First time out of the gate, man.
Last show, I turned it on every time, but not this time. Missed it already.
Well, it's out of your system now.
Yeah.
But here, this is a great day to go out and get your tomatoes in.
It is.
After what's been kind of a rough week for weather-wise for tomato starts, if you got them in a week ago and then you had that cold, windy that we had a day or two ago, some people may have lost a start or two.
They may have. I'm just looking at the weather, and Orem, at least, is 41 overnight, 41 again, and then Monday, 43. So we're right at that point that it looks like the next 7 to 10 days were pretty good for tomatoes.
Hard to imagine that, you know, anything – well, I shouldn't say this because I'm just going to curse us all, but hard to imagine – you know, a freeze or snow at this point.
Yeah, it really is hard to imagine. Although yesterday in Orem, near the canyon, snowflakes.
Of course.
And also, when I left Santaquin this morning, Santaquin's usually 4 or 5 degrees colder than Salt Lake Orem area. Orchard plants were going for frost protection, and so at least as of yesterday, we weren't quite out of the woods yet.
Yeah. Well, and you and I have both seen it freeze and snow in June. So,
yeah,
You're never totally out of the woods probably until August.
Should we get to Bart?
Let's talk to Bart. Bart's calling in, and we had a tomato conversation going, and I'm surprised to see Bart chiming in on this. But, Bart, how are you?
I'm here, guys. And you hit the nail on the head about tomatoes. Only two things money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Yeah. Amen. We need to bust out that homegrown tomato song again.
Hey, a good variety for containers is Bush Champion. That does really well, produces a nice-sized tomato, firm, not too big, 2 feet tall. Excellent.
You know, that's a great suggestion because I live down in southern end of Utah County, and about 80% of all housing going in right now are condos and
yesterday,
townhomes.
I picked my first two ripe tomatoes, so...
Yeah, were they the long keepers or what were they?
No, they were Glacier, but I still got a long keeper here that I could slice up and have in a salad.
Hi.
I picked in October. Hey, Don, what I got a question for you is about Osmocote. What is the activator for these slow-release fertilizers?
Water.
If you open a bag, expose it to light, heat, and rain, is it then activated and the 6 month time period starts then? Or?
Well, they test them at 70 degrees in a lab. And when it says 6 months, it's at 70 degrees with very even watering. And so if you raise that temperature up to 90, that 6 month fertilizer all of a sudden becomes like a 4 month fertilizer because at higher temperatures they release faster.
Because I had a fellow here come and got a tomato plant or two, and I asked him, he said he had a bucket that he set out, and he didn't know if it had started to deteriorate or not because it was open. As long as it's in the bag, it is not activated.
It is not. Regardless of the temperature, it requires water. Now, the other thing that will make them release very quickly, if you get a bag of Osmocote or a container and bang it around a lot, you can fracture that slow release coat, and it's no longer slow release. And so when you buy those, a lot of the industry will say treat them carefully because you don't want to, if you slam them around, you ruin the slow release nature.
Well, that kind of answers it. All right.
All right,
Celebrity
Bart.
Is a good tomato plant, but there's others that are better and earlier. So
yeah, and we're trying to go for stuff that's commercially available. So if you could roll into a garden center for what varieties do they carry, what tomatoes do you like?
Well, I like Celebrity, but Jet Star is really good, but it's not recommended for canning by USU because the acidity, but I found out acidity can be adjusted by whether you pick the tomato a little prior to dead ripe. If it's dead ripe, the acidity is low. If you pick it a little green, the acidity is higher.
Yeah, and you can also adjust with vinegar or some other, like citric acid.
Exactly, but my wife and I canned for years. Of course, I've only been growing tomatoes for 70 years, so.
When are you going to finally get it done?
Well, it ain't going to be this year. And I still plowing and planting, and I
got down
from 100 plants to about 20.
My old ag teacher from high school really liked Jet Star, and I think he liked Champion were his varieties, and that was in the 80s.
Well, DX5212 was a popular one years ago, and when they were planting them, I went into a big field and collected seed for them, but... The biggest problem with them was they didn't have enough foliage to cover the fruit, and they suffered a lot of sunburn.
Yeah. You know, up until I started getting heart problems, Bart, I picked a lot of tomatoes. You know, we had about a half acre of them.
Yeah.
And that DX5212 drove me bonkers because it took longer to pick it than any other variety I grew.
Well, I learned a lot about tomatoes doing the state fair for 25 years, so... And a lot of other stuff, too, so.
All right, Bart.
Good, bad, and ugly. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
thank you. Have a good day.
Have a good one. And that's Bart calling in, and we've got Bruce and Merrill and Jack waiting on the line, and we're going to get to your calls on the other side of the break. Problem is we just don't have enough time right now, Ton, to deal with the call and give them the time they deserve before we get into the news here at the bottom of the hour. Do we have any folks texting in?
Well, we've had several questions over our Facebook page about a lot of different things, and one of them was fruit trees. They're always a common question, and mm-hmm. we're getting lots of questions about why someone sprayed a horticultural soap on their aphids, and the aphids are still there. And they even say we sprayed neem oil, and that goes back to they don't understand the nature of those kinds of sprays. They're reduced risk, and they kill by either drying out or suffocating the insects. Mm-hmm. But once they're dry, they're done. And you never kill all of them with them. And so it's something that you have to spray every 3 to 5 days.
It's a war of attrition.
It is, to keep them at low enough numbers that the ladybugs and other things can come in and eliminate them, or at least control right. them more. And so if you're using reduced risk chemistries, especially oils and soaps, they're repeated sprays. There is not a once and done for them. You know, and that's one I've actually been asked 4 or 5 times in the last week.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's the answer to that question. We are going to jump out and take a break now. And on the other side of news, traffic, and weather, as I said, we're going to take your calls. Bruce, Marilyn, Jack, we're going to get to you guys, and we're going to take more of your texts as well. This is The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll be right back with more. The Greenhouse.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.